What is going on, everybody? This is Raw Star of the Remain Misfits, and of course, I'm joined with my co-host CW.
Hi.
And you're listening to The Misfit Effect. And actually, today we have a real treat for you. We have the legendary. Well, I call it, like, you gotta add that on to his name.
Legendary.
Whenever you say his name. He's been in the industry since 2003, if I remember correctly. He's been in, I don't even know how many movies, scenes. Like, he's been around the block, owner of Ideal Image, modeling. He has, like, some mainstream movies out here. Like, he does a lot.
If you're not sure if you've seen him, you've probably seen him.
He's everywhere, and he just pops up out of nowhere, like, hey, what's going on? My name is T-Real.
Hey. If you see me, that means you're in the best places with the best people.
Hey.
Exactly. So, without further introduction, this is the legendary T-Real.
Yo, what's going on, folks? The world famous T-Real, T-E-E-R-E-E-L in the house. Thank you, fellas.
So, for the misguided souls out there that don't know who you are.
Oh, misguided souls.
Please explain to them who you are.
Okay, let's see. Give you guys the short, quick history. So I was a filmmaker in Chicago way, way back in the days when music videos were popping. Back when you could actually see music videos on MTV and BET and places like that. So I was a lonely film student that would, you know, steal the equipment and go shoot videos in the hood and projects at Cabrini Green and places like that. You know, one thing that led to another, I met a bunch of rappers from Twista to Nas, Ludacris, ended up shooting a bunch of music videos. I became the king of BET Uncut, shot about 12 videos for
what?
Cut.
About real
yeah.
Quick.
Wait.
I need to know something real
huh?
quick.
Yeah.
What was the main
what?
One?
What?
I didn't even know this.
I'm gonna let you finish the introduction, but I got two questions for that. Yeah, but keep going though. Finish your
I shot, you know, one of my favorites was a video for Two Live Crew called Dance Shorty. Might have seen Time for Freakin', Time to Get Clean with Tight Ass Jeans. You know what I mean? Well, anyway, long time. Anyway, so it was about 13 videos I shot for them off and on. And then I ended up running my company out of my dorm room, which was a no-no. And, you know, it was problematic when you have rappers coming in and out of a college dorm. Mm-hmm. The other students don't have a tendency to like that too much. So they were like, look, you got to get an office space. So a good friend of mine's father had leased him an office space for him. So he's like, yo, I can sublease this space. It's on Miracle Miles. Great, yada, yada. So I subleased the space. Downtown Chicago, overlooking the water, great spot. All of these older white guys, and I would see all these young, pretty girls walking in. Mm-hmm. Like, and it was like me and my five guys, you know, directing and editing videos. And I finally stopped one girl in the elevator. I was like, yo, what the fuck do you do? You are too pretty to fucking be in this building. Because it's only like old white guys and like me and my five black homeboys here. So what the fuck? And she was like, this is the Playboy building. I was like, what? It's like, yeah, this is Playboy's corporate office. Like, they're on the penthouse floor. I'm like, what the fuck? So I ended up kind of, you know, getting in good with her and some of her girlfriends. This was back when you couldn't really get like, attractive girls in music videos. They were basically like models or like roundaway girls. So I was kind of the plug for all the playmates to get into videos at one time. So left Chicago, went to New York, hated New York, it was too cold. I love New York, the people there, but I just couldn't live there. It's too grimy for me. Worked on a couple TV shows in New York and said, you know, I'm gonna make my jump to LA. Came to LA. Like, you know, most guys back in the, you know, early 2000s, I went through my Rolodex. Like, who do I know in LA? Like, let me see who I can find. And, you know, I ended up selling a script to Sony and was living off that money and kind of enjoying the new young Hollywood money. Mm-hmm. And the girl's like, yo, I'm in LA. I'm like, oh, who is this? She's like, oh, this is so-and-so. I'm from Playboy. I was like, oh, shit. Forgot all about you. Okay. It's been like 4 years. I ain't talked to you in forever. So she actually was, you know, living in the mansion with Hef, and he kind of had a thing where once you turn 25, 26, you kind of got to get the fuck out. So she took her Playboy money and got a place over in Calabasas, which was kind of like the Playboy flop house. That's where all the girls would go, and, you know, get into all types of debauchery that they couldn't get into at the mansion. So I would stay over there and hang out with her, and I was helping her, you know, shoot her videos and edit her website and all these things, and she was kind of paying me on the side, and I was enjoying all the fruits of the labor of being at her house and banging her and her girlfriends and her other girlfriends and all the debauchery that was happening there. And she ended up getting a contract with the company, and Mr. Marcus didn't show up. Like, she was supposed to, it was a big contract. It's like 5 movies. It was her first kind of interracial scene. And I'm at my office in the Universal building, you know, working my mainstream job and, you know, making movies and doing production stuff. Mm-hmm. And she called me up crying. She's like, yo, like, we're, it's this big movie and this guy's not here. It's like 3 hours. He hasn't shown up. I did the hair and makeup. And I'm like, I'm sorry to hear that, baby. Like, I'm trying to be the supportive, like, side dude, boyfriend type dude. Yeah. She's like, no, like, can you come and do the video? I'm like, fuck no. No. I can do no fucking porno shit. I just fucking mind. Like, I'm not about to be a fucking porn star. And she's like, no, I'm going to lose my contract. And I'm, she's crying. You know, she played with the heartstrings. You know, your girl calls you up. She's mm-hmm. crying. She needs something. So I'm like, baby, I'm not. I mean, and I was already tested. We were already having sex. I mean, literally, we had sex that morning. She was like, you know what? Could you just consider doing one video? I'm like, So I'm like, let me think about it. So then she puts the director on the phone. And he's like, hey, so, you know, I was talking to Tiffany and she said that, you know, you're kind of like her boyfriend type guy. She's comfortable working with you. Would you want to do the video? I'm like, and I don't know about this. Like, it's, you know, I'm in my office and I got a mainstream job. I'm like the new, you know, Spike Lee in the videos. And I'm like, not really trying to do it. She's like, how much you want? I was like, you know what? I would do it. Yeah. You know what? Yeah. Money talks and bullshit runs a marathon. So I want $5,000 because I thought I'd name some crazy amount. And he'd be like, get the fuck out of here. You ain't getting five. But he called my bluff. He was like, okay, be here in 30 minutes. I'll text you the address. And he hung the phone up on me. I was like, fuck. Right. So I'm sitting in my office. Remember to this day, it was 12:47. My lunch break was at 1. I left the office at 12:47, drove to Van Nuys into the valley. It's about 20-minute drive. We got there. Fucked my girlfriend in a video, made $5,000, made it back to work at 3:22. And I was like, yo, what the fuck? Like, I just got paid to fuck my girlfriend who I fucked that morning for free.
Free 99.
For free. Right, for free 99. And made probably at the time, you know, shit, 10 times more than I had made in a week at my regular job. So I was like, let me go ahead and figure this out. So the director was like, yo, you did a great job. Everything was solid. Do you mind if I give your number out to another director friend of mine? I'm like, yeah, sure. So he gave my number to another director and another director. And that director gave my number to an agent. The agent was like, yo, you should come in for an interview. Think about doing some things. I'd like to represent you. And it's like, all right, let me think about it. Da, da, da. And then I was kind of doing videos on the low, just without mm-hmm. anybody knowing. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the internet kind of blew things up. Yeah. And then ended up getting a contract with the Red Light District. Red Light District, they produced the Paris Hilton tape. So most adult companies at the time, and even now, their approach is usually signing the best girls. You know, you sign a girl on, mm-hmm. you shoot her to a bunch of videos, you kind of shoot her out and you're done. Red Light District's approach was sign the best guys. So they signed okay. me, Shawn Michaels, you know, Eric Everhart, John Strong. I mean, it was kind of a good roster of solid dudes.
No four, little three names.
Yeah, literally at the time between mm-hmm. 2002 and 2005, four or five, the best guys in the business were at Red Light District or Platinum X, they were like sister companies. So Eric Everhart, Manuel Ferreira, like the whole squad, and I was like the young rookie on the team. So. And that was my job. You know, get up in the morning, you know, fuck a chick, go home. Like, I would be on set by 10 and be home in time to watch Jerry Springer. So that was a great wow. life as far as I was concerned. And, you know, and then as you know, as I started to get more and more into the business, I learned kind of the, you know, the ins and outs and the politics and things of that nature and started my own website. I started directing. You know, I saw a lot of girls really didn't have, you know, support system or guidance. So I started a management company and then from the management company to an agency. And the agency's been running strong for like 9 years now. So, yep.
All right.
So yeah. 9 years?
Yeah, 9 years. Yeah.
Wow.
So what are your plans
yeah.
after?
Yeah.
No, because like.
Never mind on that question.
It's so many people who come over here to work. Mm-hmm. Or like brand new,
yeah.
And so they're still like getting their nose wet, and so sometimes we ask them, so what are your long term?
I mean, I've been very fortunate that I've made decent amount of money in this industry and been able to kind of flip it into other avenues or revenue sources. I really love making films, you know, non-adult films as well. So, you know, I did a horror film called Half Moon. It's on iTunes and Amazon if you guys want to check that out. I've got another horror movie that I produced called Crack House of the Dead that'll be out this year. I just signed a 5-picture deal with the...
Wait till y'all see the trailer for Crack House of the Dead.
Yeah. Did you say that to me?
Yeah.
No, it's like we were... Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, if you go on to YouTube right now, just type in Crack House of the Dead, you can see a trailer for the film. Really excited about that.
Okay.
I think we're looking at a October or November release date. We're talking to distributors right now about that, so I'm excited about that.
It did really well.
You said like, Half Moon is already out.
It did really well on
Festivals. We've been in about 5 festivals so far. We actually won Best Midnight Release at the Portland Film Festival.
Okay,
so
cool.
Really about that. So yeah, I mean the traction has been really good, been really supportive. You know, it's kind of a throwback 80s VHS retro, you know, zombie film. So that's been going good.
Okay,
good.
Crack House of the Dead.
It's one line that movie that I just find so hilarious. So we're not going to spoil it for you. Just watch the trailer because it's in the trailer.
Yeah,
I'm going to watch the trailer after this.
I don't want to cuss, but it's so. I don't curse.
It's a fun.
But it's so freaking funny.
It's a fun.
And film. Yeah, but no, we're like, let's go back for one quick second.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
Okay. BT Uncut.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
There are like me and him have talked extensively about random stuff. Like from
it's a hood classic.
I ain't got no panties on.
Yes. Thank you.
What that thing smell like?
What that thing smell like? Exactly. Yes. I'm telling you.
Like even for white girls.
Yeah.
Like,
Mighty Casey.
Yeah, Mighty Casey.
So yeah, if you the new generation doesn't understand. So back in our day, you know, there was a late night show on BET called
1 o'clock.
Started at 1 o'clock.
right at the Comic View goes off.
Yeah, right at the Comic View. That was a program lineup. But you know, they would during the daytime, they would show kind of the PG-13 related music videos, and then Cut was more R-rated, a little 1X, not triple X, but 1X.
Yeah, they had to blur things.
You know, so but it was so over the top, and you know, it definitely got a lot of buzz in the hoods and the neighborhoods, but definitely got the network into a lot of trouble. But at that time, you know, that was kind of how you got people to. This is pre Napster, Spotify, all this stuff. You basically couldn't get people to know about your video unless you had a video on the network. So
yeah, that's true.
You know,
I think when I first saw the edited version of.
I mean, even Nelly's Tip Drill was on.
Oh yeah,
It was a BET. Yeah, that was classic.
We were all in college. That was like I'm studying. Yeah, Midnight Love went off. Now comedy. Now it's time for BET Uncut.
Yeah, that's definitely something you put on the background if you had, you know, your naughty freak home with you. So yeah, it was good times. So
you're like, I'm trying to get in on this Tuesday night.
I know. Yeah, exactly. Right. It's too right Tuesday night. So yeah, those are good times. I mean, you could take, you know, $10,000-$15,000 and shoot a video in a weekend, and realistically it probably cost you $3,000 to make the video and kind of pocket the rest. So it was great for me as a college student.
Because Scofield say 10. Yeah. I remember some of those videos.
Yeah, they were
like, and no disrespect to your gym, but being a place like this. And
oh yeah, just
music,
somebody.
Yeah, it was like,
and got a green screen.
This was definitely way before YouTube. And you know, I mean, guys are shooting videos on their iPhones nowadays, but if you close your eyes and imagine how things were back then, you had to really schedule and set things up and edit and lighting and pay for strippers and pay for such and such. So it was a whole.
What are you saying back then? That was only 20 years ago.
I know, right? It wasn't long ago. But
you
I
said
mean,
only.
Yeah, right. Oh, right, exactly. But it was part of my history. I had a great time, and you know, definitely was a prerequisite to the industry I'm in now. Ironically.
No, what's interesting is like when I first moved out here, the very first thing I did with anybody was at Playboy.
Yeah. Yeah, Playboy.
So that's how like I end up meeting like Tony Batman and some other people.
Yeah, I mean,
they started introducing me to people.
Yeah,
and then because you know, like he knows D. Will, D. Eric. So,
oh, yeah, D'Eric. Yeah, we went to college.
D'Eric was the one who really introduced me to the main people. Because mm-hmm. we met him when in college with him. That's how me and
nice,
him both
nice.
Know.
Yeah.
Okay, and so he invited me to meet, and that's how I got in the mix.
It becomes it's an entryway into the craziness of the life we live. I was very fortunate. I just literally stumbled on an elevator and somebody was like, oh, shit, you're Playmate of the Month for September, and we became friends, and she introduced me more people in there, and it was great. And I mean, I met Hugh, you know, God rest the dead. He was great to me. You know, we had great rapport. I've been to the mansion, hung out a bunch of times, had some great sex in the grotto with some chicks. I mean, it was, you know, back in the days of the good old days of the Playboy Mansion. It was fun. So
it's only got pictures of people in the grotto.
Yeah.
I'm thinking like, because like when I moved here in 08, mm-hmm. and I want to say I moved here in May. Mm-hmm. I moved here in May 08, and I did my first event at the Playboy Mansion because I was hiring girls to be the hostesses for mm-hmm. the event.
Yeah.
So, and that was in August of the year I moved here. And so, like, it was like, okay, I met, like, this is when I drank still, too. So it was like, I'm here. No one knows that I help, you know, help organize.
Yeah, keep it all quiet,
like,
and stuff.
It's like they don't know I help organize and stuff. So I'm not getting as much play as I want. So I'm like,
John, you're being professional. That's good. I felt the same way. My first time at Playboy Mansion, I was, because they have events outside where the grotto is and the pool stuff is. Mm-hmm. And they have the actual mansion, and not very many people allow actually in the mansion. But in the mansion portion is the arcade. So the arcade got me. So I'm like, oh shit, like the old Playboy pinball machine and stuff. It's like chicks walk around with their titties out, and I'm over here playing the arcade like a fucking 14-year-old. And, you know, I'm all about the games and shit. And then, like, once we got outside, it was like, okay, I'm like, I don't know when's next time I'm gonna be here, so I gotta take advantage of it. So go look at the zoo stuff, go hang out with the chicks. Found a girl, went down to the grotto, fucked her in the water, came out.
That's tough, because I know, like, when I was first there, it was just like, it's like you're a kid in the candy store.
Oh, absolutely.
Because I wasn't used to just seeing people just walk around me naked.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It was like, and now it's just like, okay, she's topless, okay, whatever. Yeah. And it's like, go around my merry way. But like, they was like,
yeah, I wanted every. After my first experience at Playboy Mansion, I was like, every party I go to has to be like this or better.
Oh shit!
That was my approach. So I was like, every time I throw a party, I want the one thing about the Playboy Mansion people don't talk about is the food. The food is amazing.
Oh.
Like the chefs and the people they bring in, like, is incredible, and they offer you food the way they offer you sex. Like, hey, you want a blowjob? Like, oh, what's that? I'm going to get some blowjobs. All right, cool. So I wanted my parties to be like that. Like, I want to be so casual and just, like, have conversations and celebrities and people hanging around and sex. So
food, blowjobs.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, it's all good.
Fine.
So that's how it should be. So life is good. Life is good.
Yes, food. The three F's: food, fellatio, fun.
Exactly. See, three F's for everybody. So yeah, Playboy was great, and then I got started the agency, and you know I've helped plenty of people with their, you know, their careers along the way, you know, through Brie Olson, Sasha Gray, Tori Black, Anna Fox, Jenna Ivory. Like I've been plugged for a lot of people across.
No, no, no.
What's the cool question?
She's from my home city, Greg. Brie. He's from our home city.
Possibly.
She is.
Possibly.
Yeah, she definitely is.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she definitely is.
What would you say is to someone new coming into the industry, a new starlet, is the biggest obstacle to, I guess, longevity/success?
It's a lot harder now. I mean, because again, if you close your eyes and imagine how things were when I got into the biz, and I have this conversation with models all the time. It's like, what do you want to do? Do you want longevity, or do you just want to make? I have models that were like, I want to make 10 grand, never do this again. I want to go buy a house, or I want to start a company, or whatever it is. And you got girls like, I think I enjoy this, I can make an actual, you know, long term career. The problem is, and again, I rewind the time frame of when I started into the industry, right? So, and I'll give advice for the men and for the women, right? So when I first came into the business, there were hundreds of companies. The internet hadn't exploded yet. There was just a lot of DVD and DVD company, VHS companies, but there was still actually VHS, which is crazy. So a girl would come in January at the convention. If you guys aren't familiar, there's a huge, the AVN, Adult Entertainment Industry Convention that happens in January every year. A girl would come in January, and you know, she'd have her introduction to the business. She'd meet companies, she'd meet, you know, producers and talent. And if she made the decision to get into the business from January until June, those whole 6 months, she just might work just for the girl companies. There were 50 girl companies. So she could come in just
that's kind of what,
right? And then from June, you know, as she's worked for those girl companies, then, you know, they're like, okay, well, you're pretty enough, or you have a good rapport, you have a great look. We want you to do boy girl stuff. So she could kind of test the waters and do boy girl from June until the next January. And then by that time, the DVD content she's made, the VHS content she's made is out into the fields. You can go into an adult bookstore and see her content, and it's there. And she's built a name for herself in some capacity. And then the next year, she's just doing boy girl. And then either her agent or her manager, or maybe she'll say, okay, I'll start doing interracial, I'll start doing, you know, anal. And then she could pit the companies against each other to make more money, you know, Zero Tolerance, Black Ice, Red Light District. You could walk into that company and say, okay, Sally's ready to do her first boy-girl scene, or her first anal, or her first interracial. And then you walk over to the next company, like, okay, she's willing to do it. They want to offer $2,000. You guys want to offer 25? We may have top 25, we'll offer $3,000. It was like almost a bidding war to get that girl. Yeah,
that's why I was, I forget what I was telling about this. But it's like so many girls get into it now, and like, they want to, like, it used to be like, anal was a niche, mm-hmm, whatever,
or a send-off.
Or a step of, yeah,
yeah, step of, but it's like, and it's again,
now,
not to,
now everybody just jump in and say, I'm gonna do anal on my first scene,
because,
and it's like
you shouldn't wait, honestly. I mean, yeah. I mean the days of waiting are over. I mean, that's why I was kind of going into the position of it, you know, because there were so many companies, you could wait. There was value, there was a position of being able to say, oh, this is so and so's first. The internet killed that. So those companies that used to be able to pit against each other for a higher rate are fucking gone. Red Light District is gone. Black Ice is gone. Black Mark is gone. So and so. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. So companies are basically making their money off of whatever their niche is, and that's all they shoot. They only shoot interracial. They only shoot boy girl. They only shoot anal. So their position is, if you don't do it, we don't give a fuck. We're on to the next person. And the girl who will do it will get that bag before you do. So I always tell models, you know, from an agent's perspective, and not because I'm trying to get money out of them, is whatever you feel comfortable doing, do it now, because that offer may not be there a month from now or 2 months from now. Or you might change. I've seen girls whose bodies have flipped in 3 months. I'm like, yo, how do you go from like yo, I mean, honestly, like, how did you go from like 120 pounds with, you know, 32D tits to a flat ass, flat tits, and, you know, you don't gain 30 pounds? You know,
I have an idea about what I said on here. You know.
So, I mean, again, it's just not, and no disrespect to the girls. I mean, they're beautiful and I love them, but it's the days of waiting or the days of trying to build across the board are over. The way you do it now is do what you feel comfortable doing, work for as many companies as possible, but also build your own fan base, build your own niche, have your own mini viz or OnlyFans or whatever else it is, or start with those first and then work for as many companies as possible so they can help market you out. That's my approach.
And the
same with guys. I mean, I get dozens of texts, calls, and emails per week about dudes saying, I want to get to business. How to get to business? It's like, well, first things first, now you don't really need a plug. You don't need somebody to introduce you into the game. Yeah. Start with them OnlyFans. Start with a minivid. Start with the, you know, whatever independent platform you can have first, and find a girl and either A, pay her for that scene, or B, do content and build from there. And then once you have some content built, it's easier for somebody like me to come to you and be like, okay, I think I can give you an opportunity working for this company. Most of the guys who are established, if you watch adult films, the reason why you see the same 13 guys in videos, because those guys have proven to the companies you can rely on them.
Yeah.
Because it's a business. If I'm a producer, I'm shelling out anywhere from $2,000 to $10,000 per scene. I got a location I'm renting at $100 an hour. I got a makeup artist I just paid anywhere from $150 to $200 for the day. I got, you know, a camera guy, lighting guy, sound guy. If you can't get your dick hard, I lose out on all of that fucking money. So it's not an issue of you hooking up this girl for the fun of it. I'm paying you to perform. So you're an athlete.
No pressure.
Exactly right. And no disrespect. I mean, speaking, you have to know your body. I mean, for me personally, I don't drink. I don't smoke. I don't use drugs. I need to get at least 6 or 7 hours of sleep per night. You know, or I'm not going to get my dick hard. I can't eat before my scenes. I'm not using Viagra or Cialis or, you know, shooting up. No disrespect to the guys in the industry that do that, because this is their job and they do it. They have to do what they have to do. But I know my body. So if I need to find my own natural chemistry, my own natural mojo to get the ball rolling. And that's why I've been able to sustain my career as long as I have.
It's what, right. That's what I told some people.
You got the real. Just got the real from T Real.
I tell some people that, like, especially if they are newer, like if they're dude wise, whatever, they have to be comfortable with people looking at them the entire time. Oh,
absolutely. Yeah.
And some people aren't comfortable with that. They're like, you know, they can do well if they're at home, whatever. But the thing is, there's a big difference between on set sex.
Oh, absolutely.
And at home sex.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Because, like, on set, you have to, you know, freeze position. You have, timestamps.
Well, before we even get into that, it's, hello, I just met you. My name is so-and-so. We're having sex in 20 minutes or less. I don't know you. I've never met you before. We haven't hung out. It's not a rapport. There's no natural interest in this person. This girl may not want to be there. She's thinking about her purse and her check and da-da-da. Or, I mean, I like to hope that the people I work with find me attractive in some capacity, but I know I'm not everybody's cup of tea. Like, maybe you want a taller guy. Maybe you want a guy who's no bigger. Maybe you want a guy who's fucking, maybe you want a white guy. I don't know. But you got to figure out what makes you feel comfortable to work with me to get the job done. Yeah. So, you know, a lot of guys that I have issues with are like, oh, yeah, I can do that. I'm like, no, this is a job. They're not, I just need a little bit of time. There is no little bit of time. You got to get out of here, because I've been on scenes where they're shooting three scenes in a day and you're second scene up. You got to be in by one and out by two, or in by one by about 2:30. So there's not a lot of time for you to kind of find your mojo and get comfortable with the girl. It's a fucking job. And
you can't blame the girl for the reason.
Blame the girl. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, she didn't kiss me enough and she didn't smell. I mean, I've been with girls who love to fuck and will fuck you in the bathroom and fuck you on the doorstep. And I got girls who are like, look, don't touch me until the cameras start rolling. Okay, cool. Camera's rolling. I'm gonna be all over you. But I respect your boundaries as best I can so we can get the job done. And usually I give a whole speech before I even get started. Hey, sweetheart, my name is T Real. Nice to meet you. Before we get started having sex, a couple questions I want to ask you. Is your hair really extensions? Because I want to be pulling your hair and pull a track out. Is your fingernails really acrylic? Because girls love to scratch into my arms or scratch into my back or put their fingers in my mouth. I want your fake nail breaking off of my mouth.
Yeah.
Do you have any fresh tattoos or piercings? Because if you have anything over the last 2 weeks, it makes me more susceptible to hepatitis C. So can you not, you know, shoot if you just got a fresh tattoo? For me, don't, you know, follow my lean where I'm leaning you towards. A lot of times when I'm shooting for production companies, there's one or two camera guys, so I have to be aware of where the camera is. So I'm leaning her, which feels super awkward.
Can you even shoot if you have Hep C?
You can't. That's the thing. And if you do have right, you know what I mean, like tattoos and things. Like, I don't know where you got your tattoo from. I don't know if you've actually been tested for that. So I don't know if you went down to your homeboy's basement and got a tattoo yesterday, and you showing up on set. So if your shit is fresh and you haven't been tested, I don't feel comfortable working with you. Mm-hmm. So I'll shut that down real quick.
Because I know there's
probably
some,
something people don't really think about.
Exactly.
Because I know there were some stuff recently that they were saying, like, they'll allow certain people to shoot with if they are not responsive for certain
but
things.
Isn't that
but it's not
dangerous?
The case. Yeah, that's not the case. It's an issue.
I'm saying because like I just said, like if you have Hep C, can you still shoot? But I know there are some people who I know in world whatever that may have it, but they're not responsive.
Yeah, it's a hepatitis virus, so it's most of the testing is based off of the reaction to the virus itself. Mm-hmm. So if the viral is so low in your system, the test may not react to it. So, I mean, that's why we use, you know, talent testing services as opposed to Kaiser, because they use the PCR DNA test. It's most advanced for HIV. Yeah. So it can detect HIV in your system within like three days, 3 hours, I think. So if those virals pop up in you, then it, you know, it shows you can't work. But being that I've been talent for a long time, I'll ask that question in addition to looking at your test. Mm-hmm. I'm going to ask you, take your clothes off, sweetheart. Let me take a look at you. Do you have any sores or scars or anything I need to know about? You know, out of respect to what we're doing as coworkers, yes. I give that speech, as opposed to some guys who just like, they just have to get a dick sucked. They'll walk in and just start. I've been on sets where guys walked in and just start banging the girl on the couch. I'm like, did you check her test? did you check his test?
Yeah.
Do you know who this person is?
Like, I'm
okay,
not,
cool.
I'm not going to say no names or nothing, but I remember, I know for a fact that some people just say, I'm tested, and then they just have sex. And it's like,
nope.
And it's, and you mean,
and
check,
and not
and then,
this, yeah,
and then like, and I know people recently have been, you know, showing fake ones out there, and it's like,
it's. I will say this: it has gotten better and safer over the last years because you can actually pull up talent testing. I can put on my phone, but I mean, there was some reckless renegade times. I mean, I admit I was a part of it. I mean, I remember going. You know, my thing was I would take naps. Mm-hmm. So I would go on set. Be like, hey, we're shooting the first thing. Okay, I'm gonna go take a nap. Let me know when you're ready. And we were always shooting these mansions in the valley. Mm-hmm. And I remember going on set one day, and before I took, I was like, I'm gonna take a shower real quick. So I was like, yeah, take a shower. So I go into the bathroom. We had been in this house. We probably shot in this house like 20 times. So mm-hmm. I'd been in there before. I met the owner or whatever. And just out of my general routine, I walk into the bathroom. There's a girl there, and I'm like, "Oh, I'm sorry. I'll give you space, whatever." Hey, I'm T-Real. I'm shooting the next scene up. I'm gonna just hop in the shower real quick. She, the girl's like, "Yeah, go ahead, whatever." Hop in the shower. How about the shower? She's still in the bathroom doing makeup, you know, doing her thing. Mm-hmm. She's like, "Hey, sweetheart." So I give a little peck on the cheek, and you know, we start making out and stuff. And this girl starts blowing me. I'm like, "Oh shit!" I wasn't even thinking about the fact that I'm thinking, "All right, well, she blows me." Like, "Okay, well, I can't fuck you, sweetheart, because I gotta make sure everything's good for my scene." And I gotta go take a nap. I fall asleep, and the director's, "Hey, T, where you at? We're ready for it." I'm like, "Okay, cool." And I come downstairs, it's a completely different girl. I'm like, "Yo, who
the fuck was that?"
Yo, exactly. I'm like,
who the fuck was that?
Who was the chick in the bathroom that blew me? He's like, "Who? Like the owner's daughter?"
What
the fuck? I'm like, "What?" I'm like, "Whoa, what?" He's like, "Yeah, like she's on, you know, spring break. She's in high from college. She's hanging out." I'm like, "Yo," I'm like, "Dude, that chick blew me in the bathroom like 20 minutes ago after my shower."
Woo.
He's like, "Yo, don't tell him, don't say shit." I'm like, "I'm not saying shit, but I just assume pretty white girl in the bathroom, that's who I'm fucking working with." So, though, things like that have happened throughout my career that I've learned from. Like, okay, I can't just be whipping my dick out on everybody. Just like, "Hey, what's up, chick?" You know what I mean? So, and I mean, and obviously, I eventually met her. We exchanged numbers and hung out and stuff, but. You know, bad T-Real, you know, slapped me on the wrist for just walking out and assuming that this is the chick I was supposed to be working with. You know, nowadays, I would whip out my cell phone and be like, "Hey, I'm T, this is my test, let me meet you, let me get your information, da, da, da." Right, but rewind to shit.
That's crazy.
15 years ago, that wasn't even an idea.
Yeah. You know, because we were in college during that time. There were a lot of videos filmed in a lot of mansions.
Yeah, I mean, you can
like we used to be like, those mansions. I know exactly the mansions.
Big Booty Freaks Volume 27. It's the same shit.
And that's why I don't know if I was talking to him or not.
I was like, where are they getting all these mansions?
It's like, I'm going into more houses recently, and like, it's like I watch a porn movie, and I'm like, I know exactly where that is.
Yeah,
it's like. Okay.
and it goes back to what I was saying before about, you know, why you see the same guys in videos, why you see them in the same location, because they're places that you can trust.
Mm-hmm.
They're porn friendly. They're, you know, they're wiping the couches down. You don't worry about catching, you know, something off the, you know, staph infections or things of that nature. So these people kind of, they're porn friendly and understanding, kind of get where things were. But again, things have changed now because, hell, I know people are shooting in Airbnbs. I know people who are like, "All right, I'm going to go ahead and find a girl and make sure she's tested and knock it out from there." And with the way the laws changed recently, I mean, a lot of people are jumping ship to Las Vegas because, you know, California's basically priced everybody out across the board. So even for me, it's a lot of back and forth. My agency, we just opened up an arm in Las Vegas this weekend.
Congratulations.
No, thank you. Appreciate that. So, you know, hoping to increase the amount of pretty girls out of Las Vegas and looking to get into the industry.
I think, you know, the only thing I know is since a lot of them shoot in L.A., it's just very interesting that a lot of like, girls in general are moving just to Vegas. Mm-hmm. And it's like.
Well, again, California, they've priced themselves out. I mean, if you are 18 to 24-year-old attractive female and you're really about working as a sex worker in some capacity, Vegas is probably a better bet for you. Because I have a house in Las Vegas. I tell my girls, you can live in the house for free as long as you webcam. There ain't shit to do in Vegas between 10 a.m. and 4 o'clock any fucking way. It's too hot. You can't gamble, and the clubs don't open until 2 o'clock in the morning. You fucking way. So a girl can live in a house, she'll webcam from 10 to 4, shut down at 4, get dinner and hang out, get redressed, go to a strip club and work at the club till 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. If I have a shoot for her, I can just grab her from wherever she's at, fly her to LA, have her work, or she'll shoot in Vegas. And a girl can do that for 3 months and sit on 50 grand because she's really got no major expenses other than her cell phone or whatever, and she's good to go. So, I mean, I've got girls who've, you know, and there are three types of companies. There are basically amateur companies, pro-amateur companies, and pro companies. Pro companies are like companies you've heard of, like Playboy, Penthouse, and Hustler. And then the pro-amateur companies are like Reality Kings, Bang Bros, Mofos. And then the amateur companies are like, you know, Net Video Girls, or, you know, Casting Couch HD, or Rainbow Entertainment. So
I remember I got into an argument about what pro-am stood for, and it made a lot of people upset. I'm not going to say with who, but they were, and it's really not the people on the West Coast.
Yeah, well, for production companies, pro-amateur is companies that shoot pro girls and amateur girls. So they may shoot, like I use Brazzers as an example. Brazzers of Reality Kings, they'll shoot an Angela White, who's a pro fucking girl, but they'll also shoot a Georgia White, who nobody fucking knows. Like, they may have 4 or 5 websites, and then those websites have a niche of...
No, I understand, and like, it was just a silly argument that I had to stop because I wasn't on my Twitter.
Oh, okay.
I wasn't on someone else's Twitter at the time that I helped run. Mm-hmm. And it's like, let me stop this argument.
Yeah, but I mean, and Twitter arguments, you know, are just ridiculous across the board anyway. I mean, I come to the conclusion when it comes to my T-Real stuff. I don't talk religion, don't talk politics, don't talk, you know, dumb shit. You know, it's mostly about check out this awesome life that I'm living with all these.
Yeah, I got suspended for a week because I said something political.
I was one of the first porn stars to get verified on Twitter.
Oh, really?
So, you know, Twitter's been a great outlet for me across the board. But even I have to be like, I got to be careful about what some of the things because, you know, even in Vegas, the last week, we just got back from the convention in Vegas. So it was a lot of parties, a lot of events and things. And, you know, it was crazy. The last convention of the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino having at, you know, they're buying it out, whatever. So it was a lot of content being shot throughout the hotel.
I heard
and stuff,
so they renamed it to something and it's kind of religious now. And
Virgin has bought the Hard Rock. So they're the Virgin brand, you know, Richard Branson and those guys bought the Hard Rock. So they're not tearing the Hard Rock down. They're just rebranding it as the Virgin Hotel and Casino, which is funny because they still have a contract with Avian, so next year's Avian Award is going to be at the Virgin, like the Sex Awards at the Virgin Casino, which is funny. But there, I mean, because there's so many things. I mean, we did the white party example. So the white party, we got girls dancing and, you know, doing their thing and trying to shoot content at the club, which is like, all right, got to be careful about things of that nature. You know,
mm-hmm.
You got a live stream going on at the club, and girls have their titties out. So. Don't want to get banned from Twitter for that.
No. So I know, like, I tell people sometimes, be wary of what you post, because, you know, if you give them a little bit too much in your Twitter, it's kind of like, why should I go pay for it?
True.
Well, so,
this
is just the taste.
Yeah, this is
let me
taste.
See.
That's like, but like, it's like, I've seen people, like, if the scene is like 15 minutes long, 6 minutes of it shouldn't be on Twitter.
Yeah, I agree. It should definitely be a teaser for things.
Yeah, and some people like they put up three different scenes and it's different parts and it's like 3 minutes
the whole
a piece.
Scene.
Yeah, I'm like, why should I pay for it?
I'm almost retired from performing, so a lot of stuff that I put out is things that most fans can't see. It's either behind the scenes stuff or it's, you know, it's girls I'll probably never get booked with because the girls I book with are so specific, you know, or namesake girls who have been in the business and I like them and they like me, so we can actually shoot the content out. So I actually shut down my OnlyFans. I'm going to relaunch it probably another 2 weeks or so. So you'll be seeing more content from me on the, you know, on the flip side. So I'm excited about that too.
Mm.
What's up?
So I have another question. What happened to black porn? I've been noticing that I just don't see black bodies banging each other.
Again,
it's either, like, it's black and maybe this other person is at least part black, or maybe they identify as black in their regular life.
Exactly.
But they're Latina.
I'll tell you my perspective. I'll give a little bit of history and I'll tell you how things are now. So perspective and history is that You know, there were companies that were black owned companies or companies that focused in on black and or interracial porn. And those companies primarily made their money in the VHS and DVD world. When the internet changed, those companies really weren't able to adapt. They were casualties of technology. Oh. So that consumer was used to going into a video store and renting a DVD or renting a VHS, and that's how that flow of money happened. Production companies would make the content, press it onto a VHS or DVD. That DVD or VHS was sold directly to the consumer and or to a adult video store. That's where the consumer got that content. As the internet changed, you could just go on and watch something and primarily watch something for free. A lot of those companies really couldn't make the adaptation onto the internet, and they basically went out of business. Priced them out.
I just thought about something that's just set my mind for a second. Yeah. Going to rent a movie and, you know, touching the same tapes and all that stuff.
Yeah. I never thought about that.
Yeah.
That just came by my head. Yeah. I just, I'm like,
go to an adult video store, or you go to your regular video store, and the back of it was the adult section.
With the saloon doors.
Saloon doors. And you get your VHS and you go home and watch it and you masturbate and you watch it with your girlfriend or whatever and you turn it back in. So a lot of those companies weren't able to really survive the onslaught of the internet. So, and the consumer, unfortunately, you guys out there, and let's be honest, a lot of you out there listening don't really buy porn, you know, weren't contributing to the continuous intake of those companies. So they went out of business, which is unfortunate because, I mean, a lot of the European or Caucasian owned companies were able to make that switch, and even they got hit very hard. I mean, the old business model was flipped on its ear. I mean, now it's more of a, and this is where the mainstream understanding comes in, it's more of a pay TV approach to porn.
Okay.
It's more of a commercial approach to porn in the sense of nobody pays for ABC, NBC, or CBS. They make their money off the advertisements. Nobody pays for Pornhub or RedTube or whatever. They make their money off the advertisements or the premium accounts where you can get access to everything for one, that kind of a la carte Netflix approach.
Okay.
So, you know, and the type of content, you know, you might be into interracial cosplay porn and no major production companies really making that. But individual performers might. So now I don't mind paying for this one person's OnlyFans or this one person's MiniVids to see that type of content. And even for myself, I love my fans. You guys are awesome, and I'm very fortunate to have them. But, you know, it was a hard learning curve for me. Like, who would pay to watch me get my dick sucked in the club? Like, what the fuck? Like, who would pay to watch me, like, at the shit I do on the weekends for fun, where a bunch of porn stars come over and we just eat and end up fucking on the couch? Like, who would pay to see that? She's like, oh, well, they would pay to see that. So it's worth it. I never thought, but again, it's the same thing with webcamming. Like, I was like, why wouldn't you just go to a fucking strip club? You can go there and meet the girl. She can give you a lap dance. You probably suck a dick in the back. Like, it's great. So the idea of somebody else, a different type of consumer, and what they have and what their needs are, you know, isn't mine. So it was hard to wrap my head around that. Like, I'm a different type of dude. There are millions of guys who come home on their lunch break and open up StreamMate or my free cams, and they'll talk to a girl on their lunch break and jack off and pay her and then go back to work. So, because they can't get to a strip club or they can't get access to certain things. So
I know that, like, I think I told him this, like, the very first, I think it was, I don't know if it was Exotica or Dokkan. I was at, it was my very first time doing, like, that was when I first started doing this stuff with Urban X. And this is when I was help selling DVDs. So, like, I'm sitting there, and then, like, some of the things that people were asking for, it blew my mind. Yeah, it blew my mind, because it's like, you have a weird, like, I think, the one that stood out to me was the one that said he wanted a porno of two girls dressed as clowns doing each other anally. And it's like,
yo,
what?
But now,
yeah,
you typing in me like,
it's 20
Harley
video.
Quinn.
It's 20 cosplay videos of it now. Right. But it's like, the thing is, it's like, that was my very first time doing stuff, like, doing, you know, more stuff in this world. It's like,
Yeah.
Wait, what?
I have a fan who loves doggy. He loves watching the girl and doggy. He doesn't want to see the penetration. He wants to see me behind the girl banging her out with her eyes in the camera. And he's bought, I mean, thousands of dollars of clips like that. I'm like, Jesus.
But yes, that's his thing. You get pretty, on Pornhub and stuff. You can get pretty niche. So, with the stuff you're looking for or what you're into.
And I get it. I mean, God bless them. I mean, it's changed. The dynamic has changed. The consumer has changed. So, you know, I'm happy that we're still able to survive. And I'm fortunate if I have to have a job. I can always, you know, walk away. I didn't want to be a performer that was like stuck in the porn. Like, I want to be the type of person where I can always retire if I want to. I can always walk away. I can always pop in if I want to. So I've had a very great experience across the board.
And so that always leads back to what he was starting to say that we always ask, like, what is your longevity? I mean, what is your plan? Because some people, like you said earlier, they want to get in, make a lot of money, and then quit like within a first year.
Well, and all power.
And it's like, and it's what I always tell people who are new that I meet, whatever, who either if they're interested in doing it or wherever they're. Their role is currently that, you know, if you do this, okay, the scenes, whatever you do, are going to be out forever.
Yeah. So, here's the thing. And again, not to scare people, but it's what you do can be out there forever, but it's who cares? That's the thing.
Yeah.
You know, if you, you know, you may not ever work for Disney, you may not ever, you know, be in a position where you can, you know, be a mayor of a city or something. I mean, as time has progressed, I've seen it. Opportunities you thought wouldn't be there because you're in the adult industry are not only there, but they're tenfold. So it's really up to the person and what they want to do and the opportunity they want to jump on. So
no, but for like, me personally, and like what I meant by that, I don't mean as a negative.
No,
but I mean like if you are only doing this for a quick buck, don't do it. I mean, it should be for
I don't even say that.
I say that only because like. Some do it and then they do it for a quick buck and then they use it for reasons they shouldn't use it for.
I agree. I mean, I think if, first of all, there's nothing
what
wrong
do you mean?
With
drugs.
Okay.
And we need to take that approach in the dialogue. It's don't do this to feed your habit, whether it's attention, whether it's drugs, whether it's, you know, something, you shouldn't do anything for a bad reason. But I met a young lady who was like, I want to start my own tanning salon.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, I'm in Nebraska. There are no tanning salons in my area, but I'm going to need $8,000 to do that. I want to buy some used beds. I want to buy some things. And she did that. And she's had her salon now for like 7 years. And she did just enough videos to take that money and reinvest in herself. You know, now on the flip side, I've had the girl with the druggy boyfriend who's in jail and she wants to do three scenes to bail him out and da da da. You know, who am I to tell her that that's wrong? Like, sweetheart, why are you sucking dick over here and letting these dudes fucking ass so you can bail your boyfriend out of jail? If that's who you love and that's who you want to do it for, that's not where I would be if I was you. But I can't tell you no. You're an adult. You can make your decision across the board. And I can tell you, this has been my experience for the last 50, as an agent, speaking as an agent, putting on my agent hat. If I know what you want to do and what your goals are, I can help get you to that point, but I can't tell you no or yes or no or what to do with your life. It's up to you. What I can say is that what separates me from other agents is I run my agency like a partnership. I can't be the pretty girl who can do all the fucking and sucking. You can't be the guy who's been in the business and knows. Mm-hmm. Every guy with a fucking iPhone now thinks he's a goddamn director and a performer, right? So if you're on OnlyFans or MiniVids, or you have a Twitter account or Instagram, if you're thinking of getting into the business, to help you navigate through the numerous amounts of people who are not legitimate and are not safe and are not looking out for your best interests, that's my responsibility.
That's why I know back before I had left for 2 years, I was telling everybody, just hit you up because that's a good person to know if you can get in with him and whatever.
He can make you something, you know? I try my best. I was dating a girl in the industry at one point in time, and she had an agent. And this one specific director was trying to book her so bad. He would call, da-da-da. And her agent just kept blowing this guy off. And she's like, I think I want to work for this guy. He's been reaching out to me on this back in MySpace, on MySpace. And I was like, well, you should probably go to the agent, or at least talk to the agent about who this guy, because I don't know who the fuck he is. I'm brand new too. So, you know, she booked this scene around behind her agent's back, and she did the job. And this guy was really rough and violent to her. And as a boyfriend, I felt like I don't know what to do or how supportive I can be, because I don't want to tell you not to do your job, but I'm not knowledgeable enough to know who this guy is and what his fucking style is. And he didn't respect her boundaries when she said no. And the scene was on a VHS. It went out. He sold it. He didn't give a fuck. Mm-hmm. And she couldn't go to her agent. Her agent wasn't strong enough to say to her, I don't think you're ready to do this type of scene because this performer is this type of rough when he comes to his scenes. Mm-hmm. I've been in the biz, fast forward to, you know, 15 years now, I know who those guys are. I know who's rough. I know who's romantic. I know whose dick doesn't get hard. I know who's fucking whatever. So I can sit down with the talent and say, well, what is your style? What are you into? What do you like? What you don't like? I'm not trying to stop you, keep you from doing X, Y, Z. I'm trying to look out for your best interest. Mm-hmm. When you're ready for that, let's put you over there. Or this guy's an asshole. This guy doesn't pay enough. He'll tell you it's $1,000 scene. It's really a $5 scene. Like, I'm going to save you from those headaches so that myself and my staff can make sure that you have the best experience, whether you're in this business for a week or for 7 years, you know, or however long your career lasts.
Going back, briefly, because I know we got to wrap up. Mm-hmm. I was thinking, like, I feel like it is different now with, like, if somebody wants to jump in and jump out, because I've had, being a personal trainer, I've come close with some of my clients, and then, like, everybody has a pass.
Yeah.
And some of them had adult pass, and it's like, you would not know unless you looked for them specifically.
Even for me,
you'll find like three things, and you'd have to really be looking for a name that was brought up 15 years ago.
A superstar name. Yeah. Jenna Jameson, Hypatia Lee, Tara Patrick, somebody who's just like, oh my God, they are such a superstar in the industry that, you know, it's kind of, I mean, I'm kind of in a gray area where I'm known enough in the industry, people know me, like me, respect me, but I can still walk down Hollywood and people wouldn't fucking know. You know, I can still do enough mainstream action.
I think it's more so like they know most people know the girls more than the men.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, absolutely.
And it's like,
those are the stars.
They'll know like certain ones, like, okay, blah, blah, because they've been around for
whatever.
Ron Jeremy, for example.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, whatever. So you have that. So, but we have reached the end. Do you want to tell everybody out there where to find you?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and everything.
So first things first, if you guys want to find me directly, I'm on Instagram under It's T-Real. Again, you spell my name T-E-E-R-E-E-L, T-Real. I'm also on Twitter under T-E-E_REEL. So it's just T_real on Twitter. If you have any interest of getting into the business, you can reach my agency, which is Ideal Image Models. You can reach casting, the email at casting at idealimagemodels.com. We're also under Instagram and Twitter under Ideal Image Models. So there you go. That's me.
And make sure, like, if you really want to get in, he's a really good person, like, to, you know, get you in. He'll guide you to the right people because he's been around for a while. He knows the ins and outs. And, like, it's a really good person because he's one of the most down-to-earth individuals that's in the entire industry.
Oh, thank you very much.
And entire again, industry. I'm not saying like the black, entire industry.
Appreciate
in
that.
General.
Appreciate
so, that. Yeah, just hit him up and find out. If you want to find us, we are, do yours first.
Oh, yeah, I just want to say this has been real informative. Like,
no, thank you.
If somebody was interested, you kind of laid it all out.
I gave a blueprint.
Yeah, the blueprint.
Blueprint.
And I'll come back. You guys probably have questions we didn't get a chance to get to, and I can come back again.
Yeah,
and
listen, that'd be great.
Yeah.
Well, I'm, if you're looking for me on Instagram and you're not looking for my gym, it's Christopher _ Willie with the IE, not a Y, _ J. If you're looking for my gym or anything else, it's CC Fitness LA. On Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And if you're looking for my gym site, it's ccfitnessla.com.
CCFitnessLA.
You want to find us, Burbank Misfits, on Twitter and on Facebook. The Burbank Misfits on Instagram. You want to find me, it's Raw Star, R-A-W-S-E-A-R-R, on Facebook and on the Instagram, Razor Communications on Facebook. Thank you for tuning in to the Misfit Effect, and we will talk to you next week.
Peace. Laters. Take
care. Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.